Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory this morning. We thank you as we are in the house of God again, another opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We give you the praise. The Bible says, they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And today, the entrance of your word always brings light. May that light ring come into our lives, bring us closer to the image of the Christ. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Today, the good way, the old paths. And I'm starting here at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Now, we've been preaching on faith the last few services, you know, because people need faith, you know, in this type of situation with the economy and so forth like that. And for several weeks in a row, we've been preaching on faith and so forth like that. But this morning, you know, we're going to bring this subject. It has to do with righteousness. And it has to do with, remember the series that we did on coming into the image of Christ as the sons of God? And we're going to go back into that because this is what the Lord is looking for. You know, when the Bible says that the true worshippers of God must worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, some people think that that's just singing music and so forth like that. No. You know, worship is a way of life. How many of you can say amen? It's not just when you come to church and raise up your hands. That's not what worship is. That's a part of worship. Worship is your life. Yeah, you can't have any life before God if you're not walking in the paths of righteousness. So we're going to talk about the good old paths, you know, and that's a path of righteousness. We're going to talk about that today and this morning. That's why I want everybody to listen to this message. Now, the message again, the good way, the old paths. You know, today, you know, people try to, you know, make God become a contemporary God. Well, there's no such thing. I am the Lord and I change not. You know, that's the way he is. You know, if it was a sin then, it's a sin today. You know, I don't care what the world says. I don't care how they make it on television and the young people, the young generation and everything else that they want to make, you know, seem glamorous and so forth like that. If it was a sin 1,000 years ago, it's still a sin today. You know, and if you needed to repent then, if they needed to repent then you need to repent today. And that's the problem with the church today. Not just this church exactly, but the church in general. You know, people don't want to repent of their old ways. You know, they want to come to church, sing and jump and shout the victory, and then go out and live just like the rest of the world. Well, you know, that's not going to cut it. And we're going to find out in this message here. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And verse 13. Now, Jesus was talking to the multitudes, and he said, enter in at the straight gate. You know, wow. You say the straight? Yes. Now, that straight means narrow, not exactly the opposite of crooked in this case, but the spelling of that straight means narrow. It says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, you young people, you pay attention to this message. And many there be which go in thereat. See, the road that leads to destruction is very wide. And it's very popular. And everybody, you know, Jesus even said there's a lot of multitudes that find it, you know. And you hear such things like, well, everybody's doing it, you know, so that makes it all right. No, that doesn't make it all right, you know. I mean, everybody and all those people are doing it. They may be going down on the wide road that leads to hell. And you don't want to be on that road. Now, I'll show you the road where you want to be. You see, the road where you want to be, he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads to life. Now, we're talking about the good old paths, you know. How do you find the good old paths, and what are they, you know? Now, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there be few that find it. Now, those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the multitudes today, they're going down the broad roads, and they're doing all the things that the world thinks that are glamorous and so forth, and they're headed into destruction, Jesus said. He said, but the road that leads to life is very narrow. See, just few people will find it. You know, it may not be popular to be on that road, but I guarantee you that's what's going to lead you to heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So let's see what the Lord and the Bible has to say about the good old paths and the good way. Psalm 23 and verse 3, the psalmist said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's the path of righteousness. We're going to go down this morning, the paths of righteousness. I want everybody to get on those paths with me this morning. I want you to stay on those paths, not just in church, but even outside the church. And more so outside the church when you are not even in this church service and so forth like that. So that's, we're going to look at that this morning. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, they vary anything about God. See, anything that you're going to do, it starts with righteousness. Because the Bible says, you know, the scepter of thy throne, see, it's a scepter of righteousness. The very foundation of the knowledge of God is based on righteousness. You can't do anything without that, you know. I mean, there's hundreds of verses in the Bible that talks about righteousness and so forth like that. You know, now, the gates of hell are trying to prevail against you. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Well, shall not prevail against it means the gates of hell are trying. Don't you think that the gates of hell? No. The gates of hell are trying to prevent you from getting to the gates of heaven while you are on the roads of righteousness. When you are on the path of righteousness, the gates of hell will be trying to close in. Make sure that you don't get onto the gates of heaven. But you need to stay on the path of righteousness. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Psalm 15 and verses 1 through 3. Let's see what the Bible says about those, you know, I mean, how you can ascend, you know, and get into his glory. And I remember, you know, a month or so ago, we were dealing on entering into his glory, the sons of God, and so forth like that, you know, and becoming like Christ, you know, and how do we do all of that? And we talked about some of that, and we're getting back in this message this morning. In Psalm 15, he talks about, you know, how to get into the presence of God, you know, how to ascend before the Lord. So let's read it in Psalm 15. Here's Psalm 15 and verses 1 through 3. And it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? See, now that's the very presence of the Lord. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. No, so that we're talking about that righteousness. Now, we're not talking about, you know, like I said before here, you know, what's wrong today is people want to come to the Lord, but they want to continue their old ways. They don't want to give up any of the old ways. Well, you know, and they come to church and say, well, just accept the Lord as your personal Savior and everything's going to be all right. No, the Bible says you must repent. You know, you must become a new creature. You can't just accept and everything is good. No. You see, that's the problem with the church. They want to accept the Lord, so to speak, and they want to continue, you know, their old ways and so forth. And you can't tell the difference anymore between, you know, the Lord's people and the world's people, you know, because everybody just looks the same. You know, so today, let's see how, you know, we can ascend into his presence. And let's see how we can walk before him. You know, and let's see what the Bible commands us to do. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 6. Verses 3 to 6 in Psalm 24. And here's what the psalmist, he put it. This is the way he put it. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? You know, so we're talking about, you know, ascending into his hill. We're talking about greater heights with God. You know, and he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, or sworn deceitfully and so forth, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. You know, now when we talk about blessing, if I were to stand up here today and talk about the Lord's going to bless you and increase you and give you, you know, a tremendous financial miracle, I'm going to get a lot of hallelujahs, And people will jump up and down and so forth. Because people love to hear that kind of message. You know, it appeals, you know, to the mind and, you know, to the being and so forth like that. When you talk, you know, and say, oh, Lord's going to bless you and so forth. And, you know, he's going to bring great things your way. And you're going to be the head and you're not going to be the tail. You know, you see the whole church be shouting and rejoicing and so forth like that. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning. We preach about that all the time. But this message right here, see, this is how you are going to enter into the presence of God. See, it's not by the blessing and the prosperity and all these kind of things and so forth like that. You know, it is by walking on the paths of righteousness. That's what will lead you to the gates of heaven. Now, so he said, you will be the one that will receive the blessing of the Lord. If you follow in his way, you have a pure heart and you have clean hands and so forth like that. You say, God demands perfection. You say perfection? Yes. In the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, see, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. See, that's what he told him. You know, now God doesn't want any wishy-washy type of Christian, you know, and so forth, you know, like the people I've seen, you know, one of the writers in the Bible, you know, he used to say, you know, I've seen a great evil under the sun. Well, I have seen a great evil under the sun, especially in this generation, you know, and so forth. The fear of the Lord has eroded away, you know, and people are just living just like the rest of the world. Well, you know, that's not going to do it. You know, the church needs to be separate. You know, the church needs to be distinguishable from the rest of the world. How many of you can say amen? That's right. Now, this may not be a popular message this morning, but, you know, this is what the church needs to hear. You know, God demands perfection. He told Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And Jesus came back in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, and he said the same thing. He said, therefore, be ye also perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So Jesus, he demands perfection. You say, well, nobody can be perfect. Well, that's not what the Bible says, you know. Yeah, that's what people want you to believe. See, people want to believe you to believe that nobody can be perfect and nobody wants to be, you know, can be righteous. And the devil wants you to believe that, you know, so that he can keep you in sin. You know, but no, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. Listen to what the Bible says. He said in the book of 1 John chapter 3, and verses 7 to 9. This is where my message is really at this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 7 to 9. Here's the way the Bible puts it. In case you are thinking, well, nobody can be perfect and nobody can be righteous and so forth like that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible has to say about it. He said, look, make no mistake about it. See, here's what it says. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So don't you think that it's not possible, you see. But he that committeth sin is of the devil. And now let's put that down right smack here this morning. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How many of you can say amen to that? That's right. That's what the Bible says. And now, you know, does it say that he that is committed sin is born of the devil? No, he didn't say that. But he that committed sin is of the devil. Not necessarily born of the devil, you know, but is of the devil. You know, and until you repent of that sin, you are in the devil's camp. See? Now, he that committed sin is of the devil, because the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That is the reason why Jesus came. How many of you can say amen? Destroy that sin nature and put a new nature in us, so that if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he might be a new creature. All things are passed away. I see a lot of so-called Christians, there's no old things passed away in their life. They look exactly the same like the rest of the world, and it's hard to tell. See, now a person, you may have heard me say this before, you know, a person is not defined by, you know, what they believe, but they are defined by what they do. That's the way it is. Some people say, well, it wasn't. Ah, no. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And even if it's what's in the heart, yes, the Bible says, because out of your heart proceeds forth fornications and adulteries and all these things, and lies and murders and so forth. They come from the heart. You know, so don't sit there and say, well, you know, it's what's in my heart and so forth. No. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You cannot find a grapefruit, you know, on a banana tree. It doesn't work that way. Amen? You know, when you look at their fruit, you will know them. When you see the works of righteousness, then you know that those are righteous people. And if they are doing unrighteous things, then they are of the devil. That's what the Bible says. He that committeth sin is of the devil, because he sinned from the beginning. Now, whosoever is born of God. Now, that's my challenge to the church this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. You know, you want to be the son of God? So you listen to this morning. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in God. I mean, God's seed remaineth in him. That's what I wanted to say. His seed, that God's seed, remaineth in you. And that's why you cannot sin. And therefore, he cannot sin because he is born of God. Oh, well, you say, no, well, you know, and so forth. No, that's what the Bible, that is the standard. See, that's the standard. And you've heard me say before, Jesus Christ was the blueprint. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. The Bible says that whom, you know, that God, you know, foresaw the children of God and he predestinated them to become like Christ. He said to be in the image of the firstborn, that Jesus might be the first among many brethren. So what you see in Jesus is what the church should be like, you know. And boy, I tell you what, you know, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. Now, how many of you can say that this morning, that the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me? But that's the goal. That's where we ought to be. That's where the church should be. That's the good way. And that's the good old path. And that's where we should be. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now, in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the world. See? Now, because God is merciful and he has his grace and his compassion and so forth, you know, some people say, well, all I got to do is just repent. Well, no. All I got to do is just say, well, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. And then you go right back and do it again. Oh, no. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Do you know what the Bible says about dogs? It says, outside the holy city are dogs. You know what a dog does? A dog has returned to his vomit. See, the things that you already, you know, confessed and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. If you go right back and do that, then you are just no more than a dog then. And the Bible says, outside the holy city are dogs, because they have returned. A dog has returned to his vomit. Well, you say, that's strong this morning. Well, yes. Because, you know, the Bible says, you know, some of them will go, you know, around the world, compass land and sea, to make one proselyte. And then they make them twice the child of hell. You know, but I don't want to do that. I want to preach the word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, because the Bible says, I will thoroughly purge my flow. See? And God wants a pure and blameless people. You say God wants a pure and blameless people? Absolutely. Turn with me to Ephesians, you know, chapter 5, and let's see what God says he wants. He's looking for a glorious church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 to 27. Looking for a glorious church. Now, every time people hear about this glorious church, you know, they're thinking of, you know, miracles and the greater works and all of these things that the Bible says we're going to do and so forth. And most of the time, they're not even thinking about being like Christ. They want to raise the dead. They want to do all these great things and so forth like that, you know. And then most of the time people just think that, well, that's what the glorious church is all about. But let's see what the Bible has to say about it. In Ephesians chapter 5, you know, and verses 26 and 27. Of course, Paul, he was given an analogy about husband and wife and so forth, and he used that to explain this. And he said, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. See, that's how you are cleansed. It's not by music. It's not by any of these things. It's by the word. You know now. So if you don't like to listen to the word of God, then you know maybe you ought to examine yourselves. See, the word of God is the place where you can get cleansing and deliverance. It comes from the word of God. The washing of water by the word. And that he might present the church to himself a glorious church. Now, what's the definition of that glorious church? It says not having spot or wrinkle, see, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, that's the definition of the glorious. Not that they need to raise the dead and do all this. We believe in miracles. Now, if you don't believe in miracles, now what kind of gospel would that be? You know? And I don't back down from any challenge of miracle or anything like that. And people that come to this church all the time, you know we believe in miracles. You know, we've seen great miracles and so forth like that. And we believe in that all the time. But this right here, and I'm going to show you a few scriptures in a few minutes. This right here is what being sons of God is all about. This right here that we're talking about. Living the righteous life, being blameless, being, you know, without spot and without wrinkle. This is what it's all about. Now God is calling us to righteousness. He's calling everybody to righteousness. Why? Because this world is full of unrighteousness. So we must carry the light. Amen? Because, you know, if you don't, then, you know, we'll just be like the rest of all. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2. This is what, you know, this is how the sons of God should be. You want to be a son of God? He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And I might say perverse generation. See, among whom you should shine as lights in the world. See, so sons of God are supposed to be blameless. They're supposed to be harmless. They're supposed to shine as lights in the midst of this crooked world. Amen? That's what the sons of God are supposed to be. Now, you say, that is, you know, hard to do. Not at all. You know, it's hard if you are walking in the flesh. But not very hard at all, you know, if you are living by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I will read verses 33 and 34. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. See? And he says, awake to righteousness. He's talking to believers, not talking to unbelievers at all. You know, this gospel, this book of letters to the Corinthians were written to Corinthian saints. Awake to righteousness. He's talking to saints. He said, and sin not. He said, for some have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. You know, some people don't have the knowledge of God, you know. And so God is calling us to awake to righteousness, that we should be blameless. We should be, you know, the light that is shining in this world. And especially this younger generation. I want to challenge all the young people here in your schools. You know, and also, you know, the older people, you know, people too. You know, everybody. This goes out to everybody. On your job and so forth like that. Don't compromise. Be just like the Christ. Don't cover that light and don't be like the rest of the world just because everybody's doing. You need to stand apart. You know, here's what the psalmist said he wants to do. And, you know, I'm going to show you in the scripture, this is what we should desire to do. You know, in Psalm 27 and verse 4, the psalmist said, one thing have I desired. How many of you know what that is? Did he say that I should have $1 million? That I should get promotion on my job? And if you ask anybody, most people, you know, what's uppermost in their heart? It has, you know, it's so far away from this scripture most of the time, you know. Most people are grasping at, you know, something that they can get and so forth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? Amen? And then all these other things will be added. The psalmist said, that's in Matthew 6, verse 33, by the way, if you're writing it down. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Oh, that I may dwell. You know, he likes to say house of the Lord. But for us, it's like the presence of the Lord. I may dwell in his presence. Ascend to his holy hill. You know, all the days of my life. Not some days, not only on Sundays. But all the days of my life. Don't come to church on Sunday jump and shout the victory and so forth, you know, sing like an angel and all that, and then Monday through Saturday live like the world or live like the devil. That's not going to do it. You know, all the days of my life, the psalmist said, Luke chapter 1 and verse 75. There was a story of a man called Zacharias, you know, had to do with the John the Baptist, you know, and so forth like that, you know, when he was coming and all that, and he was supposed to be the forerunner, you know, of Jesus. Now listen to the prayer that this Zacharias, he prayed, you know, after he heard about, you know, the coming, you know, of John and so forth like that, and the Lord, you know, you know, brought that child into their life. Zacharias was his father, by the way. Now, here's the prayer he prayed. He said that he would grant us, Luke chapter 1 and verse 74, that he would grant us that we being delivered out of, you know, the hand of our enemies might serve him that serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of Allah. How many of you say amen to that? Not just on Sundays. All in holiness and in righteousness. All the days of our life. You say all the days of our life? Absolutely. That's every single day of your life. Whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, whatever. Every single day of your life. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God. Now, Paul was writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. Now, as some of you young men today, I can say that to you too. You're a man of God, you know. But except you watch your ways, you know, you might just be going down the road, you know, of unrighteousness just like the rest of the world. But thou, O man of God, follow after these things. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness and so forth. You know, notice he told him, follow after righteousness and godliness. Well, that's not a popular message, you know, most of the time, but that's all we should follow after all the days of your life. And he said, fight the good fight, and lay hold on eternal life, because that's, you've already been called onto that, you know, so don't let anything distract you. You stay on that, on those paths of righteousness. Now, what is the price that you are willing to pay to walk on these paths of righteousness that we're talking about? Are you willing to pay the price? You know, so that's going to be the closing part of this message. I'm going to challenge you. You know, what price are you willing to pay, you know, that you might be right with God? You know, what part are you willing to play? You know, here's the way that Jesus put it. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, you know, that Jesus, he puts this out. Now remember, you know, I said all the time that every time that Jesus spoke, you know, he just used simple words. He didn't use any great big words. He kept it simple so that people will understand. Now, here's the first thing that he said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. We're talking about what price are you willing to pay that you might be right with God and stay on the path of righteousness in spite of the way the rest of the world is going or in spite of distractions here and there. You know, Matthew chapter 16. Let me read from verse 24. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, you know, let him deny himself. What is deny yourself? That means, you know, don't look for your own personal gain or your own personal pleasure, you know, but take up your cross and follow me, he said. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he shall gain it. Now, verse 26. What shall he profit? What's a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, this is the question that I'm asking. What is the price that you are willing to pay in order for you to be right with God? Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, that is the question, and that's the challenge that I want to pose to all of us this morning. What shall a man give in exchange? What is the price that you are willing to pay in order for you to be right with God? Let's see some of the prices that Jesus talked about. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 8. Wherefore, if thy right hand offend thee, thy hand, you know, he says, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Now this is Jesus speaking. If your hand or your foot offend you in this case that Jesus is talking about means gets you distracted, gets you off the paths of righteousness. He says, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better for you to enter into life halt or maimed, I mean that's crippled or, you know, one of your hands cut off or one of your feet cut off. Jesus said that's even better. You know, rather than for you to have two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Now when Jesus says these things, you know, most people, they just take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, just like that, just gloss over them and so forth. No, Jesus doesn't say anything just for glossing over. You know, he said, look, if anything will keep you from the prize, see, it's better for you to cut that thing off, he said. And he said, if thy eye offend thee, verse 9 of Matthew 18, it's better for you to pluck it out and cast it from thee, because it's better for you to enter into the life with one eye than to have two eyes, you know, and then be cast into hellfire, you know, and so forth like that. You say, will that really happen? Why, sure. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, verse 21, he said, in that day, many people will come unto me and say, oh Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works and miracles in your name? You name it. Pastors, evangelists, people that have cast out devils, they're all in there. People that have sung the victory and, you know, sang in the choir or praise teams or all over the world, they're all in there. You know, nobody's exempt from that if they are not walking the paths of righteousness. Jesus said, but I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Now, so, you know, if you have iniquity in your life, doesn't matter whether you stand in the pulpit and preach like this. Doesn't matter whether you do miracles around the world or sing in a choir or, you know, do whatever, you know. If you have iniquity in your life and it's unrepented, the Bible says he that committed sin is of the devil. Amen? Amen. Got silent in here this morning. He that committed sin is of the devil. Because God, see, and sin cannot mix. See, you know, it can't mix. You know, you're living a life of righteousness or you're living a life of the world. These two things do not mix. You know, and so forth like that. So, Jesus, he told them, look, they come to me on that day, they'll say, well, we did all these things. You know, we walked miracles, we cast out devils, we prophesied in your name, we did mighty things and so forth. Jesus said, well, Jesus didn't argue that they didn't do those things. You know, he didn't say you didn't do it. He said, but I never knew. Because the whole time you were doing that, there was iniquity in your life. You know, and all of that and so forth like that, at the end of the day, the Lord said the iniquity in your life, you know, will send you in the wrong direction, far away from the presence of God. You know, so you know, that's a grave, very, very grave warning this morning. Now, be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You know, you might say, well, you know, maybe you think nobody is seeing you and whatever you are doing because you are not in church. Oh no, the all-seeing eye of God. The Bible says, him that with whom we have to do, everything is naked in his sight. And the time is coming. Let me proclaim to the church right now that the time is coming when the things that are hidden and done in secret will now be revealed openly. Because God said, I will purify my church. You know, in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, you know, they've done something in secret, the Holy Ghost will bring it right out. And if they try to deny it, they fall down, die under the power of God. And that day is coming, said the Lord, again in the house of the Lord. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? That's right. We need a purified church. That's right. That's what we need. You know, if we can get together just five, you know, God even said to, you know, Abraham and so forth, he said, look, if I can find five righteous people, I will not even destroy the place. God couldn't even find five people. You know, and so forth. If we can get some five fired up righteous people for God, boy, we can turn this nation for God. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? But you know, if we can get a bunch of proselytes, hundreds or thousands of people that don't care anything about the Lord, want to look like, you know, the world, you know, Monday through Sunday, Saturday, and then come to church and jump up and down and shout the victory, you know, We just go, it's a sour taste in the mouth of the Lord. I say, I will spew you out of my mouth. He said, that's a sour taste. You know, that doesn't do God any good at all. You know, here's what he wants, you know, from us. God is not deceived. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you sow to the flesh unrighteousness, you're going to reap corruption and death. But if you sow to the spirit righteousness and holiness and so forth, you're going to reap life everlasting and glory with God. This is what you are going to reap. Now, everybody wants to be glorified with Christ. But Jesus, he asked the disciples, you know, they came and said, well, you know, when we get up there, we want to sit on your left hand, we want to sit on your right hand and so forth like that. You know, and Jesus said, well, that's all nice and good. But can you drink of the cup that I drink? See, can you be baptized with this passion of fire that is in me? Passion for soul, sir. Can you do it? Do you have it? They said, well, you know, we can do it. You know, I said, well, okay, you'll do it. All right, you know. But you must carry that cross. You must be willing to pay the price. You must be willing to drink of that cup. You know, Jesus had a cup of sorrows. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. You know, he went through the world. He was rejected of men. Are you willing to be rejected, you know, for the name of Christ? Or do you want pure, you know, acceptance? You want to be accepted among your peers? You want, you know, you want the whole world to acclaim you and so forth like that? That's not going to say. He said, that's what they did to the false prophets. You know, that's what Jesus said. They acclaimed the false prophets. They did all of that and so forth. But he said, he that will live godly in Jesus Christ must suffer persecution. If you want to live a righteous life, you know, the world is going to hate you. Because Jesus said, if they did these things in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? No man is greater than his master. You know, if they rejected and spat on his face, that's what they are going to do to you. If you want to be their favorite of the world, well, you go on. But that's the road that leads to destruction. The road that leads to life is narrow. And you must walk on that way. You must bear that cross every single day. That's the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Jesus said, you need to amend your ways. I'm going to close with this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 7. You need to amend your ways. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. You need to amend your ways, Jesus said. Amend your ways. Amend your ways. Go back to the good old way. Get back on the old paths that lead to righteousness. Get away from the broad and wide way that leads to destruction, which the rest of the world is doing. You know, Jeremiah chapter 7. Hear ye the word of the Lord, he said, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Now, let me put it to you this way. Every one of you people that come into this house of the Lord here at GMI Church, you hear the word of the Lord. And this message goes to the church too, everywhere, worldwide, whoever might listen to it. You know, those of you that call yourself by the name of the Lord to stand in the presence of God to worship him, this is for you today. He said, ye that come in at these gates and worship the Lord, he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. That I will cause you to dwell in my presence. You know, trust ye not in lying words. And say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of, you know, some people even like to boast about some temple and so forth like that. Say, don't worry about all of that, you know. The temple of the Lord, you know, the temple of the Lord and so forth. No, that's not going to do anything. You must thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. And here's what he said. He said, will you still, verse 9, murder, commit adultery, and fornication? Am I God? See? And swear falsely, and burn incense, and do all of these things to, you know, false gods and all these other things, and live like the rest of the world, and then come and stand before me on Sunday and shout the victory? You know, that's what he's saying here. You live like the devil, then you come and shout the victory. He said, well, no, that's not going to work. They said, people even say, well, we are delivered to do all these abominations, you know, that we can do all these things, you know. All we have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then go right back and do the same thing again. You know, that's not going to work. You know, Jesus said, you know, is this house which is called by thy name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, said the Lord. He said, now, I'm going to tell you what I'll do, you know, to the people that are, you know, stand in my name, call themselves by my name, but but they are not walking in my spirit. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you to go and see what I did with Shiloh. That was the first place that God chose to put his name there. And how, I don't have time to go into all that this morning, but how he finally brought it all down. Because the people wouldn't live right for God. And you say, if I did that, see, and that's the thing. The calling of God might be in your life. But if you're not living by this word, if you're not living according to the paths of righteousness, if you're not walking the straight and narrow way, God will eventually strike it down. He'll bring it down. See, every high and lofty thing God will bring down. See, that's what the Bible says. Because he resists the proud. See, who's a proud man but he that will not repent of his sins according to this message this morning? See, unless you run to God quickly. See, now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Let that soak in for a minute. You know, when God begins to say, amend your ways, live righteously, walk thou before me and be ye perfect. You say, well, that's not what we need to hear in the day of economic crisis. Well, that's what you need to hear. We've been preaching about faith and all of that. You know, so you have to go back and listen to all those messages and they're on the website. But we got to preach about this also. See, because, you know, he that does these things, the Bible says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. You know, and we must seek the Lord with all our heart. We must worship the Lord with our life, not just with our lips. Worship is a way of life. Every day, whether you are at church, or you are on the job, or you are at school, or in your neighborhood, or wherever you are, worship is a way of life. How do you live your life? And so forth like that. You know, what is it that you are doing, you know, that the Lord is convicting you of this morning? See, he that is being often reproved. It's a Proverbs 29. Hardens his neck. Verse 1, shall suddenly, you know, be destroyed and without remedy. If the Lord continually, you know, corrects you and so forth, and you don't pay attention, you know, like this message this morning, this message is to bring us back, see, to the paths of righteousness. Perhaps you have wandered away, you know, and so forth. But the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. He brings me back to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because his name is upon us. You know, as long as we have the name of the Lord, we are supposed to be his witnesses. In fact, Jesus said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that is being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When Jesus was coming out of the water after being baptized by John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 3. He went into the water, and here's what it says. He said, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Matthew 3 and 16. And lo, the heavens were opened. And I saw, you know, he said, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And the voice came out of heaven and said unto him, thou, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Can God say of you, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? This was before Jesus did any miracles. I've said it before in this church. It's not about the miracles that he did. You know, it was about a life of righteousness. You know, he said, because thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you above your fellows. You know, do you love righteousness? Do you hate iniquity? Can God say of you, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? Let's stand to our feet this morning as we pray together. This was before Jesus did any miracle. Before he did, you know, entered into his public ministry. But the voice of God already came and told him, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now when some people talk about sons of God, they're thinking about the great miracles and so forth that they will do. Well, the Lord was already pleased with Jesus before he did any of those great miracles. God was pleased with his character. God was pleased with the life of righteousness that he chose. Because he chose righteousness and he hated iniquity, God anointed him as head even above his fellows. Will the Lord speak of you the same way? Can he say of you, like he said of Job and Daniel, He said, even if Job and Daniel were there, you know, I wouldn't even spare that city. He's talking about righteousness. A righteous man like Job, a righteous man like Daniel, or like Jesus, the perfect Son of God. Can he say of you, like Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? This ought to be your desire. This ought to be your cry. Let's lift our hands this morning and let's pray before the Lord. I want everybody all over this audience this morning, lift up your hands and pray. You know, Bible says, walk thou before me, he said to Abraham, and be thou perfect. If there's anything in your life this morning, now, you go away from a message like this, 2 days from today, you don't even remember any part of this. You know, and you go right back to your ways, then my hands are clean. See, I have spoken the word of the Lord. See, and then it's on your head. See, but if you take a hold of this message, and if you repent, see, in your heart, and you turn back to God, the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name, that's not the unbelievers. You know, that's not the unrighteous people so-called. No, this is the very, this is very people that are professing his name. My people that are called by my name shall turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. When they repent, when they confess their sins, when they turn unto me with all their heart, that's how real revival comes. And I will heal their land. Let us pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. The word of God, the Bible says, by the washing of water by the word, that's how we are purified. You know, the Bible says, you know, as it was read this morning, it said, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, because whom he loves, he corrects. You know, there's always even though we don't speak like this, there's a comforting spirit behind it. That's how you know that it is from the Lord. This is not a condemning spirit. This is an instruction to bring you back to the path of righteousness because he loves you. And so this morning, I'm going to give you a chance to make it right with God. Now, you may be here this morning, perhaps you have even, you know, maybe you are just even yet to get on the path of righteousness for the first time. Or maybe you are backsliding from God, you know. You used to walk the straight and narrow way, but you've allowed, you know, things, you know, and so forth. And distractions, seducing spirits, which the Bible says will seduce in the last days. You've allowed different things and so forth. You know, you need to get back with God. See, and so forth like that. Now, seducing spirits, that's not only, you know, sexual and so forth like that. No, it seduces you away from the word of God, you know. That's exactly what the devil did. He said, has God said that, you know, it should be like this and so forth? And he said, oh, well, you know, and so forth. And God all twisted up, you know. So seduce, in the last day, sir. Don't let any seducing spirits get you from the path of righteousness. You stay right with God, and you will inherit the blessing from God. Now, if there's anybody here this morning, you want the power of regeneration. You know, I'm not going to ask you to come here and shake my hand and say, the Lord, you know, accept my Savior and so forth. No, you must repent. Accept the Lord as your Savior, he's not going to do it. You must repent and be born again. That's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You must repent and be born again. And if you've done anything, you've gone away from the Lord and so forth, you must repent. Amend your ways. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and repent, I will heal their land. If that's you this morning, you know, if you're looking around, you're still wondering what people will say. Well, you've not repented yet. You know, if that's you this morning, and you want to get back with God, you've walked away from the path of righteousness. And if you're here this morning, perhaps also this is your first time that you will realize that it is necessary for you to live a righteous life. Maybe you just, you know, been doing anything you want, you know. I want to give you a chance this morning, because we never want to close a service without giving people a chance to make their lives right with God. Because this may be the last chance you get. You may go out of this building today and it may be the last day. We don't know that, you know. So make it right with God this morning. With all heads bowed this morning, every head bowed. Don't be looking around now. This is a solemn moment. With every head bowed here this morning, if you want prayer, you want the power of God's deliverance in your life, and you want to be back on that path of righteousness for his great name's sake, and you want to cry out to God this morning, and so forth like that. While your heads are bowed, I want to see your heads up, I mean your hands up, and I'm going to pray with you this morning. I want to ask God, you say, to give you that power. He says, little children, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He that walketh righteousness, like God is righteous, but he that committeth sins of the devil. If your life, if there's sin in your life, the Bible says, then you are of the devil until you repent of it and God washes it away. And then you must not go back in those sins. Now, if you are here this morning and you want that powerful prayer that will set you free after hearing the word of God, I want you to take a step of faith. Step in the air and come forward this morning. And I'm going to pray with you. And if there's only one soul here this morning that will step forward and receive the prayer, then we will be glad, because then the Lord, you know, has accomplished that which he sent me here to do this morning. If that's you this morning, you want the power of God to break this vicious cycle in your life, you know, and then you want to say, look, I've got to make the choice. I must amend my ways. I have to return to the path of righteousness. I must be different from the world. Can't be like the rest of the world. You know, if you are here this morning, I want to thank those of you who are coming forward. I see some people coming forward. If you are here this morning, believe the Lord. You know, he is God. You know, there's a gracious spirit here this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The only time, see, the only people that Jesus ever rejected or refused were the arrogant and the Pharisees and the people that boasted in themselves that they were good, that trusted in their own righteousness. But if you cry unto the Lord this morning, he will forgive your sins and he will receive you. Remember the story of the prodigal son. He came to his senses. If you have come to your senses this morning, here's what I want you to do, those of you who are here this morning. Come closer, everybody that's here. Come right here in front of the pulpit. Those of you who are here, come out of the house and come right in the pulpit. You know, we're going to make an oath this morning. Now, I want to challenge you. You know, don't be hasty with your mouth when you come to the house of God to make a vow. Because he will hold you accountable to this vow that I'm going to ask of every one of you this morning. See, we are going to make a pledge and a vow with the Lord this morning. See, we're not going to come every day and be telling you to repent and so forth like that. You know, you make this pledge this morning. You take a hold of God and don't let him loose. And you get God in your life and you say, Lord, you know, I'm not going to turn loose. I'm staying on this path of righteousness this morning. I want you to lift your hands, those of you who are here. The Lord loves you. Jesus loves you. And I love everybody. And I preach this with love in my heart this morning and so forth like that. Lift up your hands and begin to pray and ask the Lord for his mercy and his forgiveness. Hallelujah. Jesus, he can never turn down the cry of mercy. Every time they cry unto him, say, Lord, have mercy upon me. He was magnetized. He stopped in his tracks. And he looked at them and he had mercy on them. As you are praying this morning, amend your ways. Repent of your ways. If there's anything in your life that is not right with God, put it under the blood this morning. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon everyone that is here this morning. The blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Let it begin to speak deliverance into your life. Let it begin to speak forgiveness, you know, and the love of God in your heart this morning in the name of Jesus. Identify yourself with the cross of Jesus this morning. Take up your cross this morning. Never mind the world. Never mind your friends. Never mind your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever. You mind the Lord this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus this morning. You stand up for Christ this morning. And do the right thing this morning before the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, move upon your people this morning. They have come unto you, Lord. They have not come unto any man. Move upon them this morning, Lord. And bring a sweetness, Lord. A spirit of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus washes away every sin. The Lord give you the power this morning to lift up your head and walk the paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, I want those of you who are here this morning, I want to take an oath of you this morning before this cloud of witnesses that today you are rededicating your life to the call of God in your life. And you are not going to go to the left. You are not going to go to the right. You will not be seduced by any seducing spirits. You will not walk in the ways of the world. You will follow the voice of the Master. My sheep, they know my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they will not follow any seducing spirits. They will not follow the voice of strangers. This morning, follow the Lord. Follow after righteousness, thou man of God. Many of you are men of God and women of God that are standing here this morning. Follow after righteousness. Follow after holiness. Follow the Lord with all your heart. Don't be an angel on Sunday and a devil Monday to Saturday. You be in the worship of the Lord all the days of your life. Father, we give you praise. We give you the glory for your people this morning. They have made this oath. Now, every one of you, make this oath and say, Lord, by the grace of God, I will follow on to know the Lord. By your grace, Lord, I will follow. I will follow. I will follow. I want every one of you who are here this morning, I want you to say that with me. Say, by the grace of the Lord,
by the grace of the Lord,
I will follow on. I will not go to the left.
I will not go to the
right. By the grace of God and by the Spirit of God that dwelleth in me. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap, everybody. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may go back to your seats. Praise God. Praise God. I want the praise team to come and do that song, Righteousness and Holiness. It will fit in right with this message this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap again, everybody. Thank you, Jesus.